The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo. In the headlines, POTSAC calls off its three-month-long strike after pledge by government to pay 2013-2014 book and research allowances. Ghana attains MDG1 as poverty levels drop. Director of Ngochi Memorial Institute vouches for authenticity of Ebola test conducted at the facility. Six people missing after a boat capsizes on Daboya River in northern region. And Israelis and Palestinians agree to indefinite ceasefire after weeks of fighting. First, a summary with Naomi Komi.
POTSAC has called off its prolonged strike. The members have been on strike since May 15, 2014, over the non-payment of their book and research allowances since 2013. In an interview with Radio Ghana, counsel for POTSAC said the association is satisfied with the decision taken by government to pay the book allowances. Ghana has achieved MDG1 as poverty levels declined by 7.7. This is according to the Ghana Living Standards Survey 6, released in Accra by the Ghana Statistical Service. The head of industrial statistics at the GSS, Anthony Kraka, said the figures indicate that poverty rate now stands at 24.2%, whilst extreme poverty rate stands at 8.4%. Director at the Ngochi Memorial Institute for Medical Research, Dr. Kwejo Kuram, says the institute is a WHO-certified organization that will in no way falsify medical research results. He made a statement in response to questions raised by people about the accuracy of the results given by the institute on people whose blood had been sent there to be tested for Ebola. And Israelis and Palestinians have agreed on an indefinite ceasefire after weeks of fighting. The truce, which ends 7 weeks of fighting, has left more than 2,200 people, mostly Palestinians, dead, and was brokered by Egypt.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. The Polytechnic Teachers Association of Ghana, POTSAC, has called off its three-month-old strike. The decision follows government's assurance to pay POTSAC its 2013-2014 book and research allowance next month. Members of POTSAC have been on strike since May 15 this year over the non-payment of their book and research allowances since 2013. Speaking on Behind the News, counsel for POTSAC, Justin Paura Teriwaja, that POTSAC is satisfied with the decision taken by government.
I mean, the government has agreed that they will pay for the 2013-2014 the academic year, and that government, through the government, will liaise with Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to constitute a team to negotiate with POTSAC on the National Research Fund vis-a-vis the book and research allowance. So now, yes, one chapter is closed. We are opening a new chapter. I mean, the 2013-2014 book and research allowance will be paid. But then the 2014-2015 and beyond, we will step down and then review the conditions of service and look at it, taking into account the National Research Fund. But POTSAC's position all along has been that, yes, the National Research Fund need not to place payment to the book and research allowance. But these are issues we are yet to engage government with. I mean, sit down and talk with government over these issues.
Does it mean that they will have a meeting with government to discuss how to access both the book and research allowance and then the National Research Fund?
But I believe that, yes, I mean, the two are not mutually exclusive. The two can both exist side by side so that people who need to do research can send their research proposals to the National Research Fund for approval and for funding. But the book and research allowance is more of, in POTSAC view, it's more of a tool that POTSAC members need to be able to be effective, because you need to get books. I mean, some of them you just have to buy them to read and prepare to be effective in keeping minds for national development.
And Justin, can you tell us the new arrangement by government to get the book and research allowance paid? How is it going to be done?
Oh, yes. Government has assured us that this month has almost ended, of course. So September, October, thereabouts, I mean, we should expect the payment of our book and research allowance. So, and we've sent a memorandum of understanding to the effect. And I believe government will not back up on this memorandum. I don't believe they will do that. Because the Minister for Labour was there, Minister for Education, and Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. I mean, they were all there.
Counsel for POTSAC, Justin Paura Teriwaja. In order to make justice accessible to the poor and marginalized in society, Three books on simplified guidelines for accessing the courts have been launched in Accra. The executive director of the Center for Public Interest Law, Augustine Niebuhr, who launched the books, said removing factors that make the courts intimidating to the public, especially the poor and marginalized, will be a sure way of increasing people's access to justice. A report by Mary Atule and Rich Love Jajome.
Majority of citizens, especially the poor and marginalized, are unable to access justice through the legal system because of several factors. Some of these include lack of information, awareness of court processes and procedures, and lack of access to financial resources. To this end, the Center for Public Interest Law, CIPIL, developed and produced simplified guidelines for accessing justice in the district and magistrate courts, the Circuit and High Court, and the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice. The Executive Director of CIPIL, Mr. Niebuhr, said the legal aid scheme has still been unable to sufficiently meet the needs of all persons who qualify for legal aid, mainly because of lack of financial resources. He believes opening up the court and administrative bodies to the poor and disadvantaged groups who are unable to use these institutions effectively is a means of providing access to justice. A legal practitioner, Gabriel Poirman, said the technical nature of the processes and procedures of the courts, as well as the general intimidative nature of the justice system, makes the vulnerable more disadvantaged. The guidelines do not contain all the rules and procedures for assessing justice in the courts, but contain a simplification of the most important rules to guide a person who is not a lawyer to successfully commence and prosecute an action.
Mary Atule reporting. Presiding judge of the Circuit Court in Accra, Helen Amwa, has warned against patronizing justice. Madame Amwa urged litigants and accused persons alike to refrain from any act of inducing the law with bribes. The judge, who was addressing the audience in an open court, took strong exception to attempts to influence her decision in matters pending before her court. She has also warned against the use of influential people to persuade her into being considerate with cases. Madame Amwa said such acts will not be entertained in her court, and asked all persons who have paid any money to any counsel or court staff in the hope of buying justice to take back their money from the people they paid to. She added, the justice bought is no justice at all. While bemoaning the current situation of alleged corruption in the judiciary, the judge said the image created for the judiciary has implications for foreign investors, as no foreigner would want to invest in a country with such a system. Ghana has achieved MDG 1 as poverty levels declined by 7.7, this according to the Ghana Living Standard Survey 6, released in Accra by the Ghana Statistical Service. The figures indicate that poverty rate now stands at 24.2%, whilst extreme poverty stands at 8.4%. The head of industrial statistics at the Ghana Statistical Service, Anthony Kraka, explains figures in this report by Mercy Darko.
Mr. Kraka, who gave a presentation of the findings on Ghana's poverty line, noted that Ghana has consistently been experiencing poverty reduction since the 1990s. Ghana therefore achieved the MDG 1 of halving its poverty levels in 2013. He explains that the 24.2% rate indicates that 24.2% of Ghanaians are poor and therefore cannot afford to spend 3 cedis 60 pesos per day. 8.4% of Ghanaians are also extremely poor. He said poverty decreased in all regions except Eastern region, with the three northern regions recording the highest poverty rates, even though there were improvements.
We can say confident that you have achieved that world standard that is there, the world has set for us, that we are trying to benchmark. For the period, the poverty reduction has been consistent, but compared to the international, the world standard, yes, you have achieved the gold one, which means you have half poverty. What you have now, you have gone beyond half in poverty, because this is 51.7, it's now 24.2%. So you have gone beyond half in the for that poverty rate at the 1990 level. So for that poverty is reducing, it means that the welfare levels are improving, the living standards are improving. You know, we have a lot of buildings springing up. It just shows that people are getting a lot of income, and so affording an opportunity to spend. So our standard of living is improving.
The Ghana Living Standards Survey 6 also touched on education. Findings from the survey showed that about 20% of the adult population 15 years and above have never attended school. However, school attendance rates recorded for males and females in the age group 6 to 11 years are very high at 93.3% for males and 92.6% for females. On health, about 14% of the population suffered illness or injury 2 weeks preceding the survey. Out of these, 66% consulted medical practitioners in mostly public health facilities. On labor, the survey showed that 26% of children aged 5 to 17 years engaged in child labor, with 25% of the children found in hazardous work. The fifth and the latest round was carried out from October 18, 2012 to October 17, 2013 to collect detailed information on education, health, employment, household, child labor, and Ghana's poverty line.
Mr. Dako reporting. Former President John Kufuor has commissioned a $100,000 solar-powered borehole and street lights for the people of Kujuashong in the Gang West district. The project will enhance quality of work at the health center in the town. With the provision of the mechanized borehole, the water problem facing the people and its related diseases will be addressed. Joyce Deche reports.
Residents of Kujuashong, a suburb of the Gang West district of Greater Accra, have been battling with water-related diseases like bilharzia and typhoid due to the absence of potable water. Upon seeing the plight of the people through the media, the Kufuor Foundation sought funding from Ecobank to assist the community. With about $100,000, the Kujuashong community has been provided with solar-powered borehole and street lights. The health center in the community will also be a major beneficiary of the project. The executive director of the John Ejekum Kufuor Foundation, Bafa Jimandia, talks more about the project.
What we try to do is to enhance the quality of work at this clinic. The water we have supplied is not going to service the whole building and the staff of the clinic. Secondly, we have provided water in all the rooms of the clinic, and we're going to develop the maternity ward also to make it easier for women in this area to be able to deliver their babies in better condition. Now we also install solar power around the clinic that is to enable this clinic to function 24 hours a day. Now, the bottom line of this is that we are doing this as part of the sustainable development strategy. So we are reducing the dependence on fuel. We are also trying to make sure that this project is sustainable with minimal maintenance.
Former President John Kufuor, who is also a UN envoy on climate change, said the use of solar technology as a sustainable energy solution will contribute to the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, proving to cause climate change. He said, apart from helping to improve the quality of life in the community, solar technology is renewable energy and as such promotes energy security. The executive director, Domestic Bank of Ecobank, George Mensah Asante, said the effects of climate change are real, and adaptation measures like clean technology and effective water management will help mitigate the effects on the people. The district chief executive for Gang West, Sam Atukwe, said the coverage of water in the district is only 27%, so the mechanized borehole will help alleviate the plight of the people. He said with the refurbishing of the maternity ward by the John Kufuor Foundation, pregnant women in the area will no longer have to travel the bad route to Amasamang for maternal health care.
Joyce J.J. reporting. The director of the Noguchi Memorial Institute for Medical Research, Dr. Kojo Koram, says the institute is a WHO-certified organization that will in no way falsify medical research results. This was in response to questions raised by people about the accuracy of the results given by the institute on people whose blood had been sent there to be tested for Ebola. Dr. Koram said this during a familiarization tour by the Minister of Health, Dr. Kujuajima Mensah, to Noguchi and the Food and Drugs Authority. We bring you more.
Dr. Koram said the entire test conducted on people purported to have contracted the Ebola virus had proved to be negative, adding that the institute had no reason to falsify results as it would taint its image should the truth come out eventually. He urged Ghanaians to be grateful to God that all the research findings carried out on persons purported to have contracted the disease had proved to be negative. He said Ghana and Senegal were the only countries in Africa to have such medical research facilities, which had helped a lot of other countries in the sub-region due to the accuracy of its research findings. The Minister of Health, Dr. Kwaku Agyemang-Mensah, appealed to Ghanaians to have faith in the works of Noguchi, as it has carried out a lot of findings which have gone a long way to help in medical research.
And that was the Newsdesk report. Many parts of Accra got flooded after yesterday's downpour. The rainfall, which began in the early hours, continued till late evening. Places such as Adabraka, Circle, Kanishi First Light and some other parts of the capital got flooded. The rains left most roads unmotorable, thus resulting in chaotic scenes. Most traffic lights in the capital stopped working, causing heavy vehicular traffic. The AMA says it will prosecute offenders who defy its orders to rid the city of filth. The head of waste management of the assembly, Sam Kudu, said the AMA will ensure strict enforcement of the law after the 10-day ultimatum it has given itself to clear the city of filth. He spoke with Agatha Samoa on Behind the News.
The mayor has inaugurated a sanitation standard implementation committee, I will call it a pressure group, that will be putting pressure on everybody to ensure cleanliness at the grassroots. And I think a lot is being done to sustain sanitation in the metropolis.
And even some, after the 100-day initiative to get the capital city clean, what happens if people still dump waste around? What sanctions are there for these people?
Yeah, after we've clean the whole of Accra, it is our obligation to ensure that we put waste at the right place. And if waste is not put at the right place by recalcitrant, you know, waste collectors or waste generators, then I think if you are found putting waste elsewhere, an offense. So for that matter, you will be prosecuted at the court if found.
And we understand the AMA has reactivated the Nsamansama concept.
That forms the major part of the sanitation implementation committee. We are all going to work hand in hand with the environmental health officers, and for that matter, the Nsamansama group, to arrest people or waste offenders, people who actually are engaged in littering or putting waste or packaging waste and then putting it in the drain, will be arrested and prosecuted at our sanitary committee.
Head of Waste Management of the AMA, Sam Podo. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: Porta calls off its 3-month-old strike after pledged by government to pay 2013-2014 book and research allowances. Ghana attains MDG-1 as poverty levels drop. Director of Noguchi Memorial Institute vouches for the authenticity of Ebola tests conducted at the facility. 6 people missing after boat capsizes on Daboya River in northern region. And Israelis and Palestinians agree to indefinite ceasefire after weeks of fighting. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with factual, accurate and credible information. We are reliable.
Welcome back. The 2012 presidential candidate of the MPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, says the MPP can easily win the 2016 general elections, provided all grievances in the party are addressed. Addressing MPP executives in Tema and sympathizers as part of his campaign tour ahead of the Special Delegates Congress, Nanado said recent happenings in the party are worrying, as this can adversely affect the party's chances of victory in 2016. Patricia Che has more.
Nanado was accompanied by party bigwigs, including his running mate, Dr. Muhammadu Baumia, former Greater Accra Regional Minister in the Kufuor regime, Sheikh Isi Kwei, MP for Ablekuma West, Eslo Usu, MP for Tema East, Titus Glover, among others. He said unity is a component to in winning elections despite vigorous campaigns.
I don't think any of you are very worried about what is happening in our party at the leadership level today. The things that are taking place in the party headquarters and the things we hear. It is right for all of us to be very worried. And whilst we are very worried, also let us not forget one important thing. This party, since its foundation in 1947, has gone through many challenges and difficulties. And in 2016, we will be ready for the test of the elections of that year. And this time round, we are going to win.
On his part, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia said the NPP needs a leader who is well vested in economic ideas to turn the economy round. As such, voting Nana Addo to take up that mantle will not be votes wasted.
Of mature leadership that this country needs. We need a leader who has the vision to transform this country. And Nana Addo is clearly a visionary man. He has a transformation agenda for this country. When we talked about free secondary education, the NDC said it will not work. Today they say they also want to do it. When we talked about the Northern Development Authority, they said it will not work, but then they came to implement it. It's only a man of vision who comes out with these types of ideas.
The Greater Accra Regional Chairman of the NPP, Ishmael Ashiti, on behalf of his regional executives, pledged their unflinching support for Nana Addo.
On many occasions, I've told you where I want the region to go. We don't have to create any doubt in the minds of the people of this country. I therefore want a situation who will go to these elections on Sunday and declare 100% support for Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo Addo.
And that was the Greater Accra Regional Chairman of the NPP, Ishmael Ashiti, ending Patricia Chey's report. Power outage yesterday compelled the Commission of Inquiry into Ghana's participation in the Brazil 2014 FIFA World Cup to adjourn proceedings. The Public Relations Officer of the Commission, Thomas Gwachiajima, told Radio Ghana that power could not be restored because the standby generator had developed a fault and that led to the adjournment. Mr. Jiman said adequate measures have been put in place to prevent a recurrence.
This is the first time we are experiencing something like that, and I remember the very first time we moved into these offices, we spoke to the estate manager of the National Sports Authority, Mr. Eric Nkansengamana, who assured us they have a standby generator, so in case of power failure, maybe we could rely on that. We spoke to him earlier, and today immediately the lights went out, and unfortunately for us, he also informed us the batteries of their standby generators. Somebody was asked to work on it yesterday, and the person was supposed to have started today, unfortunately. It's not started. So as a result of that, we had to adjourn sitting. So tomorrow, 10 a.m. with the same witness. Since this the first time it's happening, maybe we could in future and in subsequent days plan ahead and see what we can do about it. Since this facility belongs to the National Sports Authority, the estate manager, Rick, is in touch with the electricity people and also with their workers. And I believe by tomorrow, the standby generator will be in place, and even if we don't have light or such things okay again, we could rely on the standby generator.
And that was a report filed by Georgia Sekre and Albert Pakanati. A search team has begun to locate six missing persons after the boat on which they were traveling capsized in the Dabuya River in the northern region. Five persons, including the station officer of the Dabuya District Police and one of his three children, were rescued after the accident. According to eyewitnesses, the passengers, who were mainly traders, were on their way to the market in Tamale. They, however, missed a Tamale-bound bus early on Tuesday morning after successfully crossing the river. However, on their way back home with their goods, they encountered a windstorm that preceded a downpour. Upon reaching the middle of the river, the storm caused the boats to capsize. Rescuers quickly rushed into the river and were able to save only five persons. However, the other six passengers, including two children of the station officer who were supposedly returning to his station at Dabuya, are yet to be found. The chief priest of the area, whose name has not been given, is said to be leading the team of rescuers to locate the missing passengers. When contacted, the Northern Regional Police Public Relations Officer, Assistant Superintendent of Police Ebenezer Tete, confirmed the story and said investigations were ongoing. The Director of General Services at the Volta River Authority, Mrs. Ablafiajo, says the surest way to encourage a child to take to reading is to make available exciting and colorful reading books. Mrs. Fiajo said it is unfortunate that these kinds of books, though not expensive, are only seen in private schools. This challenge, she said, deprives public school pupils, especially those in rural communities, the chance to improve their reading abilities. The director made these sentiments when her outfit presented colorful Anansi storybooks to six schools at Akonsombo in the Eastern Region. Erabna Paha reports.
As part of VRA's corporate social responsibility, a collection of the tales of Kwekwe Anansi will be presented to 40 basic schools with library facilities to promote reading among basic school pupils in the Sujaman district. The Director of General Services at the Volta River Authority, Abla Fiajo, further explained the reasons for the donation.
The standard of education is a need that is universal in all our communities. Now, with education, we've also looked at the achievements of schools in our communities, and we are not very happy with what we are seeing because there's no consistency. There are years when the schools in our communities do well, and sometimes a year or two after, we notice that their performance is dropped. One of the first things that we've done has been to donate exercise books. We've used that as a means to motivate the children to stay in school. It's a problem that cuts across not just schools in our communities, but of course our focus for now is schools in our communities. We're looking at the possibility of having some mobile library because we notice that not all the schools have got libraries. So we are thinking about that. We are dialoguing and seeing if it's feasible.
In response to a distress call by authorities of the Akwemuman Senior High School on the collapse of the female KVIP lavatory, the VRA also presented 200 bags of cement to assist in the construction of a new water closet toilet for the over 1,000 girls. Headmaster of the school, Emmanuel Teria, could not hide his gratitude. He appealed for more support from other corporate institutions.
I'm overjoyed for your kind gesture. Even though I wrote for the request, I didn't know that you come to our aid so soon and came at the right time. And I assure you that we are going to put it to good use and the quality work will be done. I also like to appeal to other corporate organizations to come to our aid.
The donation cost the VRA about 13,000 Ghana cedis.
Erabna Paha reporting. Beg your pardon, that was Erabna Paha's report. An Accra Circuit Court trying former Member of Parliament for Nkuranza North, Eric Amwaten, has adjourned the case at the instance of the State Prosecutor, DSP Aidan Derry. DSP Derry informed the court, presided over by Helen Amwa, that further checks are being conducted into the matter and the prosecution will need some time. He prayed for a three-week adjournment, but the court adjourned to the 11th of next month, saying the time span for adjournment should be reasonable. Counsel for Mr. Mwarton, Charles Poulsen, did not oppose the application. The former MP arrived in Ghana after serving a 10-year jail term in the United States over narcotics-related charges. The accused person pleaded not guilty and was admitted to bail in the sum of 200 Ghana cedis with two sureties, one to be justified. His reports to the police every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. In international news, a long-term ceasefire has been agreed between Israel and the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The truce, which ends 7 weeks of fighting, has left more than 2,200 people, mostly Palestinians, dead. And it was brokered by Egypt. Hamas said the deal represented a victory for the resistance. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko says a roadmap will be prepared to end fighting between troops and pro-Russian separatists in the east. He was speaking after holding his first direct talks on the crisis with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Belarus. Mr. Putin said Russia would assist a dialogue, but stopping the fighting is a matter for Ukraine itself. The UN says one of its cargo helicopters has crashed in South Sudan, with unconfirmed reports saying it was shot down. The UN mission in South Sudan said three crew members died, while one survived, adding that an inquiry is underway. Thousands of people have been killed this year in bitter fighting between South Sudan's army and rebel forces. Bintui, capital of the oil-rich United States, has changed hands several times, but a ceasefire agreement is currently in place. On Monday, the two sides were given 45 days to form a power-sharing government. Now to end the news, the main points again. Portac has called off his three-month-old strike. In an interview with Radio Ghana, counsel for Portac, Justin Terewaja, said the association is satisfied with the decision by government to pay the book allowances. Ghana has achieved MDG 1 as poverty levels are set to have declined by 7.7. The head of industrial statistics at the Ghana Statistical Service, Anthony Kakra, said the figures indicate that poverty now stands at 24.2% whilst extreme poverty rate stands at 8.4. The director at the Noguchi Memorial Institute for Medical Research, Dr. Kojo Koram, says it will in no way falsify medical research results because it is a WHO facility. He made the statement in response to questions raised by people about the accuracy of results given by the institute on people tested for Ebola. And Israelis and Palestinians have agreed on an indefinite ceasefire after weeks of fighting. The truce, which ends 7 weeks of fighting, has left more than 2,200 people, mostly Palestinians, dead. The U.S. and the U.N. Secretary General have given their full backing to the deal. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.